I'd like to call the House Transportation Committee to order. Time is 1:33. Today is February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Present today are Co-Chair Stutes, Representative Drummond, Representative Klayman, Representative Kopp, and Representative Eastman, filling in for Representative Newman, who has an excused absence, and myself, Chair Wool, and Representative Sullivan Leonard is here, too. We do have a quorum. Please silence your cell phones. We will allow electronic devices, but just keep them on silent. If you have any communication with the committee, please do so through our staff, committee staff Laura Steidolf. Also like to thank Heather Evoy and Cody Grusendorf for their support. Our order of business today is a presentation by Brian Fechter, policy analyst for the Office of Management and Budget, on House Bill 60, the Motor Fuel Tax Transportation Maintenance Fund. He'll be available for questions afterwards. So if you want to come to the table and introduce yourself, give us your presentation.
For the record, my name is Brian Fechter. I'm a policy analyst with the Office of Management and Budget. Thank you for inviting me here to talk about HB 60, the motor fuels tax bill. What this bill does is it increases our current motor fuel tax by doubling it by FY 2018 and tripling it by FY 2019. Now, this may seem like a large increase, but consider the fact that motor fuel tax for highways was last increased in 1970, for watercraft in 1977, and for aviation in 1996. If we would have just indexed to inflation, this 8 cents per gallon highway tax would actually be 49 cents today. You can see our current receipts are 40.3 million. After we double it, we'll have 80. And by FY 2019, with the tripling, we'll have 120 million in receipts. These receipts will then be deposited into a special designated fund to give the taxpayer and the public some comfort that the money they're spending at the pump will be used for the transportation infrastructure that they enjoy using. Now, what's this going to cost everyday Alaskans? Look at a Wasilla to Anchorage commuter who drives 25,000 miles per year at 25 miles per gallon. They would currently pay about $80 per year. After the tripling of this tax, they'll pay about $240. This is an increase, but it's not overly burdensome. Moving to aviation, an Alaska Airlines flight from Juneau to Seattle, lasting 2 hours and 15 minutes, assuming the Boeing 737 burn rate of 750 gallons per hour, currently pays about $54 per flight. After the second increase, it'll be about $162 per flight. This is just $1.37 per passenger. So even if every cent of this tax increase is passed on to the end user, it won't be overly onerous. Let's compare ourselves to other states. As you can see, our highway tax is the lowest in the nation, and it has been the longest since it has been increased. You'll see I have our marine tax in a dotted line here, because for most states, the highway rate is the marine rate. We're one of just a few states that gives a special preferential rate to our marine fuel. And that's an important policy consideration, given the impact that the maritime industry has to our state.
So, excuse me, so what you're saying is our marine rate of 5 cents is lower than the highway rate of 8 cents.
Right.
And in most states, it's equal to the highway rate. States that have marine tax, you mean?
Yes, Chair. Well, there's just a handful of states that have special set-asides. For instance, some states do just a rebate for only commercial fisheries, and some states have different set-asides for different purposes. We're the only one who, across the board, has watercraft tax at a lower rate holistically than the motor fuel tax for highways.
Thank you.
And you can see...
we have a question?
After the second increase. Just clarification.
Go ahead,
on this. So on the jet fuel tax, is the 35, we would be listed the 35th out of 50 states. Is that after all of the increases in the taxes?
This is where we are currently.
This is where we are currently. Do you have something showing what where our status would be after the increase in these fuel taxes?
I can report back and get that to you, but what I can tell you is if we look at things more holistically, because we're looking on the next slide, for 31 states, the aviation fuel tax is actually included in their sales tax. So assuming a 3% sales tax rate, it would bring us well above this increase that we're asking for, and we'd be about 35th in the nation for our aviation-related fuel taxes.
Through the chair.
Yeah, Representative Stutes.
Thank you. That's not a satisfaction. I would like to see a chart of where we stand after the fuel increases, if at all possible, please.
Through the chair,
if you could supply
I will report
it
back.
To the chair. Thank you.
Representative Klayman.
Kind of on the same topic, I thought that you just said that we are currently 35th for our aviation fuel tax. And are you saying that even with the increase, we essentially will be in the same ranking amongst other states as to the aviation fuel tax?
Now, this through the chair, this chart is just showing the jet fuel, the special jet fuel and aviation gasoline tax. It's not showing a holistic view of all the taxes that happen to land on jet fuel and aviation gasoline. What I'm saying is we'll be about 35th once we factor in all the different sales taxes in other states that also happen to land on aviation fuel tax.
Okay. We have Representative Eastman, I believe, and then Representative Kopp.
Yes, through the chair. So on the topic of comparison to other states, what does the price of gasoline in Alaska compare to other states?
I don't have the exact figure, but it is above other states, around the high end.
Well, I would assume that that was taken into consideration in proposing this tax.
Right.
I would like that information then.
I can provide that.
Representative Kopp, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Fechter.
Fechter, thank you.
Fechter, thank you. 31 states, if I read this right, have a sales tax that applies to these fuels already.
Through the chair, that is correct.
If I follow up, Mr. Chair.
I'll follow up.
And the amount of revenue that each one of those states is collecting now is contrasted on this chart with what is proposed. So I think basically what you're showing is that we're not doing something unprecedented here. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that is correct. And just as an example, you can see the impact of a 3% sales tax. But of course, we know every county and every municipality down south has different sales tax rates.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All good. Okay, you can proceed.
Okay, now I'm going to move on to talk a little bit about how the designated fund is going to work. As I said, we're putting the receipts of this fund into a new Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund to give the public some assurance that the money they're spending at the pump will be used to maintain the infrastructure they enjoy. This first takes a bit of an explanation of what is a designated versus a dedicated fund. We all know that dedicated funds are prohibited by our Constitution. We can't earmark certain receipts and bind future legislatures by directing them to a specific purpose. But what we can do is we can write a designation in statute, and that designation acts as almost a gentleman's agreement. But each future legislature will have the ability to either honor the designation placed in statute or ignore it. But for the record, of the over 50 designated funds that the state has, last year there were only two instances of it being used off designation for just two out of over 50 funds. So 90%+ of the time, these designations are honored.
Can you tell us which two those were?
It was the vehicle rental tax fund, which has a designation for tourism marketing and development, but it was used in parks maintenance and highway maintenance. and the Higher Education Fund, which has a designation for education programs, and that was used to fund retirement payments.
Thank you. Question, Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through the chair. So according to this, any marine highway tax, according to the chart that you've given us, any any marine fuel tax would be applicable or could be put in a fund designated for anything marine related, whether it be ports and harbor or the Alaska Marine Highway System?
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, that is correct. The interesting thing is that when we went to develop this tax, we found that there were designations already written into statute, and that's these three that you see here. So the highway tax was designated for highway operations and maintenance, the non-public highway tax, that's the tax on snow machines, heavy equipment, generators, fuel, for those sorts of things, was to be used on trails and shelters, and the watercraft tax was to be used on water and harbor facilities. Now, we didn't materially change any of these designations, and we thought it best to leave it up to the legislature to determine how broad or how specific the designations should be and what should be allowed under this tax to be paid.
Follow up,
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, through the chair. So these, I'm going to focus on the marine fuel tax. So on the marine fuel tax, there was already a designated fund, and all of those additional tax monies would go into this designated fund specified for watercraft in some capacity or another?
Through the chair, there were already designations, but there was no way to appropriate specifically from these accounts since the accounts resided within the regular general fund. So in practice, what would happen is the legislature would appropriate money from the general fund, and since we spend far more money than we generate in taxes on our transportation assets, they were just assumed to have come from these three accounts for the purposes listed.
Follow up, Representative Stutes.
So how difficult would it be to put in a designation so that the motor fuel tax goes directly into a designated account for the highways, a marine fuel tax goes into a designated account for the waterways, as I said earlier, or ports and harbor? Would that be a difficult thing from your perspective?
Through the chair, no, it would be very simple fix in the bill. The bill currently moves these accounts, keeping the current designations, into the new transportation maintenance fund. But what you could do is make just tweaks to the designations, saying, for instance, fuel from watercrafts may only be used on marine highway system and port and harbor facilities and things of that nature, and you can broaden or tighten these designations as you see fit.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I have a question about the non-public highway use account. And I know these were existing accounts, correct, that may or may not. Yeah, okay. So motor fuel tax for off-road equipment, snow machines, heavy equipment, generators, you don't really differentiate that. I mean, if I buy gas and use it on my snow machine or my generator, there's no way to really track that as based on place of purchase, right?
Right. It has to be reported to us. So if you use motor fuel off-road for a generator or a snow machine or a four-wheeler, you're entitled to a small discount in the motor fuel tax rate. I think it's 6 cents, if memory serves. And so you would have to file a return, and that's how we would know that you were using that fuel in a generator or exempt use.
And so the remainder that you don't get the rebate for, that would then therefore be determined to be off-road, and then it would be designated to be used on trails and shelters? Is that...
That is the, Chair, that is the current designation in statute, and okay. As I said, it is ultimately up to this body to determine exactly what sort of designation we want to put on these items.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
And so, as I mentioned, these accounts were always commingled in the general fund with no way to appropriate specifically from them. So in practice, we appropriated from the general fund, and since spending exceeded collections, it was always assumed to come from these respective accounts. Well, when we move these accounts to the Transportation Maintenance Fund, we'll still have them commingled as the bill is written. And the commingling yields added flexibility for the department. For instance, it puts pressure on the department to be frugal with their budget because money not spent from their appropriation from this fund will lapse back to the fund and be available for future uses if an emergency or a disaster or a one-time deferred maintenance need arises. You'll notice I did not mention jet fuel and aviation as part of the three accounts that are moving into the new fund. This is because they are already separate due to FAA regulations, and this was a change that we reclassified this funding last session. And now this table outlines our proposed allocation of these funds. And this is not written in stone, and we'll certainly entertain alternate allocations from the legislature to reach an equitable allocation of funding. And just to go through the list, we're putting $9.2 million to airport operations and maintenance, $62.5 million to highway and road maintenance allocated to the three regions based on the size of their total budget. There's an appropriation to the Alaska Bureau of Highway Patrol in the Department of Public Safety. There are two capital grants for transit. One provides transportation services for the elderly and disabled. The other provides state match that leverages federal dollars for communities to purchase and operate bus systems. And we have three appropriations for marine transportation, including the marine highway system, a grant to the Inter Island Ferry Authority that runs the Ketchikan route, and the Municipal Harbor Facility Grant Fund, which is a 50-50 matching program that funds harbor repairs. The top scoring project on this list will cost $5 million and be fully funded in the governor's proposed budget, and it is for Wrangell, Shoemaker Harbor.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you. Can you give me a brief history of the Inter Island Ferry Authority and why the state is providing a grant for their operations?
Essentially, the Inter Island Ferry Authority can run the Ketchikan-Hollis route less expensively than the Marine Highway System. We give them a small grant annually to subsidize their operations, and locally they've wanted a more frequent service than the Marine Highway System was willing to give them. So over the years this has tapered down. I believe a few years ago it was closer to $1 million. Dollars annually, and I think anything further I might have to call a lifeline from Commissioner Lucan.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chairman.
Yep, follow up.
Yeah, I believe it was, used to be two vessels, one from the north end of Prince of Wales Island, to Wrangell in Petersburg, and the southern route is the one that remains, I don't think that second vessel is in operation any longer. They weren't able to keep up the traffic on that route. I think it's important for the Transportation Committee to understand the history of that piece of our system. Even though it's privately operated, we do have a handle in, obviously, if we're granting them funds on a regular basis, we should know what that's about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Simmons.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just, from the previous handouts that we were provided, I just want to clarify on this one, you're no longer taking 50% of the marine fuel tax and applying it to the highway and road maintenance. Is that correct?
Well, you can see on the next slide, through the chair, that our proposed allocation did take 6% of total collections and divert them to marine transportation, when marine fuel tax collections comprises 12% of total collections. I think it's probably a fair criticism that the marine community may be a little shortchanged on this allocation. But like I said, this is just our first proposal, and working with the legislature, we can, I'm sure, find the most equitable split of these funding.
Follow up, Representative Stutes.
So the answer is correct. They are still taking 50% and applying it to road and highway.
Through the chair, Representative Stutes, that is correct.
Thank you. Follow up?
Follow up.
Needless to say, we will be working together on this. Thank you.
Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back a couple slides. You said something that I think is very important for, I think, all of us to understand, is that designating this fund, you said unspent money will lapse back into this fund. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that is correct.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, a couple meetings ago I asked a question. I said it's hard to plan for these disasters when they occur, and how do you pay for that when it happens, when you have a road washout, or, you know, I mean, these things happen every summer.
Sure.
They only happen every single year. So, you know, how do you budget for that? And my question that I asked, it wasn't you, sir, it was another person. I said, will this designated fund help you to pay for those incidents without using GF money or reducing your entire operational budget? And the answer was, I don't know. But if I hear you correctly, sir, this will give DOT a better avenue to pay for those incidents.
Through the chair, that is correct. There will be funding left in the motor fuel tax account, provided the department lapses funding back to the fund, and that can be available for these disasters and one-time emergency situations.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's a huge benefit that they have not had before.
Thank you. Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, through the chair. I have a quick question with regard to transit and buses. Am I to understand that users of the transit and bus system would not pay into this particular tax, yet we would, looks like, appropriate 2% or what have you for use?
Through the chair, there is a tax exemption for municipalities and localities who are typically the ones who run bus systems. Additionally, the coordinated transportation funds nonprofits who are, again, fuel tax exempt. The same goes, of course, for the Bureau of Highway Patrol, being a state entity. They are exempt from tax. And so this allocation of funding just represents a first stab before legislative input of where the administration would put the funding from this tax. And we are absolutely open to working together to find a better allocation or a more equitable allocation.
Through the chair?
Yep.
Well, it just seems to me they use our state roads as well, and they probably, with those big buses, have incredible wear and tear as well. And so I think that needs to be further discussed. Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Yes, thank you very much for your presentation, for the information. I think you heard from my question earlier. As I look at the presentation, I find a giant hole, and that hole is, what is the impact going to be on Alaskans once this tax is implemented? By my rough calculations, and I'm no mathematician, but this tax would put Alaska above Washington in terms of how much gas is going to cost the pump. And Washington already has over 37.6 cent tax per gallon. So if we're going to move Alaska next to California and Hawaii as far as how much gas costs, I'd like to see the department own that? And I'd like to see an explanation for how that is going to affect Alaskans. Without that, I don't know that we can adequately assess, you know, whether this tax is going to do what we want it to or not.
Through the chair, we can provide that.
Thank you.
I think for the purposes of this committee, the price of gas in Alaska versus the price in other states is probably beyond the scope of Department of Revenue. I mean, in other words, the how we set gas prices or how the private market sets gas prices is, I think, another question altogether. But it certainly is a discussion worth having. Go ahead.
So this is my last slide. I'll just briefly summarize. The number one priority of this new tax or this tax increase is to reduce the deficit. We got into the details a little bit about how it's allocated. Our big concern is reducing the deficit no matter how we ultimately decide to allocate these funds. And I'll just give a nod to the four separate accounts and say it's at the legislature's discretion exactly how we write the designation in this bill and exactly what we want to fund with this, the proceeds of this tax. And with that, I can take any questions.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, through the chair. Just one moment, let me get to the page that I was considering here. You had discussed the fact that we currently have kind of a designated fund mechanism already established. Is that correct?
It's correct. There was a designation written into law, but it could never be implemented because the designation lived as a subaccount of the general fund. And now the legislature can appropriate the general fund, but not necessarily the many subaccounts.
Okay, so for example, through the chair,
yeah.
If we have a company like, Tesoro, aren't they already paying some type of a fuel tax? And if so, where does that go? Is that into this type of fund, or does that go through revenue? Or
that is a separate tax. I believe it's something close to a cent at the distributor level, whereas these are paid at the actual point of delivery, so the gas station and wherever you're a consumer filling up.
Okay. Thanks.
Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through the chair. So I'm presuming that the department doesn't really have a preference as to how these funds are designated, because from what I've been able to ascertain, wherever these funds go, it's just going to replace UGF funds. Is that a correct statement?
Through the chair, that is a correct statement. As long as the governor's priorities are funded in the final budget, we don't really care exactly how these funds get allocated.
Thank you.
I have a question. sort of a follow-up to Representative Stute's question, which is, in any of these categories, whether it's the different funds, which would be road maintenance or ports or airports, are any of the allocations or any of the total revenues in excess of what you would need for any of those components? For example, in FY 2019, if the watercraft tax, you were able to collect $15 million, and that was put entirely into ports, would that be too much? Is that where this surplus would be? Or are any of these categories where you would not need the amount that you're bringing in? Does that make sense?
Through the chair, we spend far more in unrestricted general fund than we will generate from this tax, even after it's tripled.
Okay. So, to follow up on Representative Kopp's question of having excess money for a rainy day, so to speak. None of these revenues, if dispersed to these separate funds, you foresee any leftover. You'd have to actually bring in UGF money just to get it up to its operating level. And then as far as avalanche or catastrophe money, that comes out of somewhere else.
Through the chair. So essentially, the argument I was making was that if the department was frugal with their budget and lapsed money back to the fund, it's available for future use. Currently, the way things are, if they don't spend the entirety of their budget, it lapses back to the general fund and is much more challenging to appropriate for one-time use. If it lapses to a designated fund, it's much more palatable to appropriate money from that source.
So if they have leftover money just from the whole, this combined with general UGF money, at the end of the year they could lapse it back into one of these designated funds.
Through the chair, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Representative Eastman.
Yes, through the chair. So on the topic of lapsing funds, how much money is the department, you know, on an annual basis lapsing back? How much are we talking about here?
Through the chair, it really depends. We haven't seen our fiscal year 16 CAFR, that the comprehensive annual financial report that Department of Administration puts out. If I were to take an educated guess, statewide, all departments, we'd be in the neck of the woods of $50 million UGF for fiscal year 16, but that's just an educated guess at this point.
Follow up.
Could you get us some of those numbers for the department, say, last 5 years?
Through the chair, I can do that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I see we have Kelly Mazai online from the tax division, I guess, as just to answer questions, which we don't seem to have any excess of at the moment. So with that, we will be drafting a CS work draft for HB 60. It'll presented to the committee next week, and then we'll be accepting amendments for the CS on Thursday. We do not have any other previously heard bills in committee right now, so this Thursday meeting for transportation will be canceled. But we'll probably have a subcommittee around then as well. But seeing no further questions or comments, I will adjourn this meeting at 2:05.